Good. Ladies and gentlemen and distinguished guests, it's a total pleasure for me to join you virtually today, and I wish I could be there in person. But I wish you all the best to speak on this extremely important topic of financing transboundary cooperation and basin development. As we've heard already, transboundary basin cooperation development is critical for sustainable development, for achieving energy and food security, safeguarding livelihoods, and preserving biodiversity. Over half of the world's fresh water flows through and across national borders, and 40% of the world's population lives near these water bodies. While we've made significant progress in water security, it's disheartening to see that still about 500 million people in the Asia-Pacific region still lack access to basic water supplies, and about 1.14 billion people still lack access to safe sanitation. Moreover, as we all feel day by day, the impacts of climate change make the need for improved transboundary water cooperation ever more urgent. Changes in precipitation patterns, glacial melt, and the frequency of extreme weather events are impacting water availability and influencing disaster risks. So supporting regional cooperation and integration is a key pillar of the ADB's long-term corporate strategy, which we call Strategy 2030. This includes support to facilitate transboundary cooperation and water security. And it's very timely that today's workshop is taking place at the same time as COP28, because there, ADB, alongside Nepal's Minister of Forest and Environment, Mr. Birendra Prasad Mahato, we just launched the Climate Resilience Initiative, which we call Building Adaptation and Resilience in the Hindu Kush Himalayas. The Hindu Kush Himalayas, often referred to as the Asia Water Tower, is where 10 of Asia's major rivers originate, which sustain 1.6 billion people, including through transboundary rivers such as the Ganges and the Indus. Climate change-induced melting of glaciers is expected to contribute to more extreme flooding and reduced river flows, making effective transboundary water cooperation absolutely essential to cope with these changes. In partnership with the government of Bhutan and Nepal, this initiative focuses on managing risks and developing climate-resilient infrastructure in the region, and will combine cutting-edge risk assessment and risk management tools to help guide investment decisions for large-scale infrastructure. As you're all aware, effective transboundary water management will require significant investments in a number of areas, and let me just mention three. One is the shared data and information platforms to provide accurate information on variables, such as water availability and exposure to water-related risks, which also create new opportunities for cost-effectively collecting and sharing information between countries and regions. Two, the establishment and strengthening of joint bodies, such as river basin commissions, are essential for facilitating international cooperation. So there we have the Mekong River Commission in Southeast Asia, for example, who provides a good example of how joint bodies can facilitate improved transboundary water resource management. And three is integrated planning approaches, namely integrated water resource management, which are needed to ensure effective management and equitable use of water between users and between countries. As you will hear later today from my ADB colleague, Mr. Yoshida, who is there with you today, ADB has been working with the Central Asia Regional Economic Cooperation Program, which we in short call CAREC, through its water pillar to promote improved transboundary water cooperation. The CAREC water pillar is supporting regional investments in water, knowledge development, and creating a platform for dialogue and facilitation of capacity building. And I believe you will be hearing a very interesting presentation from Mr. Yoshida. Let me quickly mention that ADB recognizes the diverse water-related needs, such as applies tailored approaches. We achieve this through well-established partnerships in our developing member countries and by maintaining a strong presence in the field, aided by ADB country offices in almost all of our climate countries. Since 2011, We've committed about $30 billion for water-related investments. But addressing water and sanitation challenges requires even more investment, as we've just heard. Up to 2030, we will need about $53 billion per year just for water infrastructure. Of this, we hope that at least $18 billion per year will come from the private sector. I believe we are all working hard to find new and better avenues to get the private sector involved, not just in the water sector, of course. So as you can imagine, at ADB, we work passionately with the private sector, now even more so as ADB is being reorganized along these same lines. I'd like to conclude by saying that although our transboundary water management challenges seem immense, workshops such as this provide the opportunity to bring together some of the world's best water experts and experiences to collectively identify innovative financing solutions for transboundary water cooperation. I really believe that there are many opportunities and solutions now available to us to choose from. Our developing member countries now have easier access to affordable equipment and services, including new high-level technologies and innovations. There's greater knowledge sharing of good practices between and within countries, and there's growing participation of alternative financing sources, such as the private sector, insurance industry, the transfer of carbon credits, and an increasing willingness to pay from water users who receive access to better services. With this in mind, I wish you all a constructive and stimulating discussions. Thank you.
Thank you very much.